This morning we're in the third week of a sermon series from the life of Job, a series that I'm planning to be a total of 10 messages that I've kind of laid out and roughly will follow and unless I feel differently. There's so many lessons from Job's life and Job's experiences that I think are so fitting that God wants to speak to us about. This morning I want to talk about a man who went to the very, very bottom. Not everything I'm going to say today is going to be all that uplifting and positive and exciting, but descriptive of what people go through. Different levels at different times. Some of you, I'm sure today, would mark if you were to ask where you at on that schedule of 1 to 10, how are you today and where are you at? You may be up on the higher end and feeling things that are difficult to deal with and that challenge your faith. One of the things about the story of Job and Job's life is his face was challenged. Job's world was crumbling around him. He had no idea why. We look back and we know what was going on and we see the fuller picture, but when Job was going through that process of pain and suffering and crumbling, he had no idea what and why God would allow what God allowed in his life. Last week we read the first of two stories about how Satan was allowed by God to attack Job. We saw how he attacked his wealth and his possessions, and whereas Job entered into the story as the greatest man in all the East, by the time Satan was finished what God allowed him to do, he had absolutely nothing around him. And above that, and deeply beyond that, God allowed Satan to take the lives of his 10 children. When we think about the depth of the suffering that Job went through, I'm sure that our minds might go to people that we know, or even times in our lives when we struggle with why God allows things to happen to us and we don't know, we don't understand. So we have a lot of questions about this story, but we also have a lot of truth and a lot of depth in this story. And I think for us to take on this story and to study it and to read it and to think about it and to wrestle with it will bring great things to our heart and our spirit. In chapter 1, verse 22, we read these words at the end of that first test. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Somehow at the end of this horrible time period, we see in Job a character and ability to stand up to the suffering around him in an amazing way. You might think, well, Job passed the test, and so now God's going to help him and restore him, and this attack from Satan will be behind him. But we find in chapter 2 that God allows a second round of suffering to come to Job. In his heart, Job was able to hold God in his rightful place in the midst of the suffering that he was going through. He refused to give in to the temptation to let go of his faith. Well, chapter 2 is round 2 of Satan's attacks, and I'm going to read 10 verses. Job chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, if you want to follow along, it says, "On another day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity. And though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason.' 'Skin for skin,' Satan replied. 'A man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to the face.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still holding on to your integrity? curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not evil? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. The first observation I have from this story, and I notice from this story, is how the words that God speaks in the second story are the same as the words that God spoke in the first story. Except in the second story, God adds something from his heart as he recognizes what's going on with Job. Have you considered my servant Job is the beginning part. And God says the same things, but he also adds to that, and he still maintains his integrity. Remember, these are the observations of God. God knows what we go through. He knows about the struggle that we're in. And right here, God tells us and notices the path that Job has been on. Whenever we go through hard times, we need to remember as part of faith and hold on that God sees where we're at. He sees the path that we're on. God knows what is ahead. This is a showdown, if you can use that term, between God and Satan. But it's also a step of God making a connection and making a plan to send Jesus to the world so that every person can be right with God. This fits in to the plan of God. Satan initiates, but God uses it for a purpose. Unique and not to be seen, I believe, as a pattern of what God allows Satan to do in everyone's life. I mean, we can know this story, but we don't necessarily should say, well, that's how God allows and what God allows to happen in everyone's life. This story is amazing, and it is unique. We do know who Satan is. We do know that Satan is trying in this incident, in this place, to accuse God of something and wreck the plan of God's salvation with man. Satan's trying to prove something, but it's not going to happen. The end of verse 1 tells us that it didn't happen here. At the end of chapter 2, we'll find out that it didn't happen here either. We think about who Satan is. We think about the scriptures and the names of Satan. Think of all the places that describe who Satan is, and here are a few of them. Would you go onto that screen, please? The evil one. Satan is the evil one, the scriptures call him. Evil, diabolical, one of the names that are found. His nature is evil. His nature is to be the destroyer. And he wants to destroy people and life. He's a real enemy. He's a deceiver, the father of lies. Last week we talked about the scripture that he is the father of falsehood, of lies. He's the murderer. He's the angel of light. All these names describe who he is, the schemer, the accuser, the roaring lion, the enemy. I mean, all these things Satan has brought to bear in this story. So when we think of what God allowed Satan to do to Job, God allowed, for whatever reason God had, for Satan to pour out all the fury of his evilness in the life of this man who is blameless before God. Why? Why did God allow it? All of these names are seen in this story. Every part of the character of the enemy of Satan is seen in this story. Job is under attack in every way possible by the destroyer, allowed by God to go so far, but no further than Job's life itself. He's in your hands, God says, but you cannot take his life. I think, well, why did God say that? Why did God limit Satan? Well, a lot of things that come to my mind and my heart when I think, why did God say to Satan, but you can't take his life? Well, if he would have taken Satan's life, then it could not have been proved that Job would choose God even when he lost the blessings, for one thing. And the other thing is eternity. God always has our eternal picture in mind. Yes, he cares deeply about this life and what you're going through and you feel, but he also cares about all of eternity. God has that power in his hands. When I think of how Job was attacked by the enemy, of course, the first thing that we look at is Satan destroyed his wealth, his possessions, everything that he had built and worked hard, his lifetime of work, his security, his retirement. We think, well, that was bad. But if we stop and think about that, how would we handle that? How would we deal with it? We lose a job, or we lose, somebody takes our goods or our money, or somebody steals from us, or it's gone. How do we feel about God when we deal with something like that? And then Satan murdered his children. Imagine the attack on Job's faith. Imagine the attack on my faith and your faith. To know that our children, who were young and strong and vibrant and good people, and how all 10 of them were taken at once. Would that not push any of us to the brink of what we believe and why? The death of any loved one is hard, and we grieve deeply. Many of you know, and many of you are here today and can probably count quite a few of you who have lost someone recently, and how discouraging it can be and disheartening it can be, and how sometimes the enemy uses that to say, why would God do that? Why would God allow this person to die? So we wrestle and we struggle. You see, Satan's throwing everything he has at Job, everything. And then he attacks his health, the boils, the pain, the suffering that I want to come to in a few minutes and talk more about. And then there's the struggle with faith, and the faith of his wife, and how both Job and his wife were struggling through this. Satan tried to use that too. Satan will try to use the relationships in your life to discourage you. He'll try to use the weaknesses of others to bring you down, whether it's a spouse or a family member or a friend or a business associate, someone in your life. And then coming at the end of this chapter and into the next 35 chapters of the judgment of his friends, his three best friends, who maybe had the right intentions, but they're misguided. Missiles of false accusations strike at Job and tear him down, and everything was against Job. Satan was using all these things as the accuser of the brother. And Job, you can't be right with God, Satan would say. Job, it's because of you. Job, that false accusation. Job, there's no reason to hold on to your faith. Just curse God and die. How low could Job go? Job was at the lowest place that I think humanity can be. There was Job's own doubts used against him. And for the next 34 chapters or so, those doubts are going to continue to run through his mind through the friends of judgment and what they speak to him, saying to Job, what did you do wrong? Why did God abandon you? Who are you? Why? Why has life become like this for you, Job? And Satan throws that at him, and Satan will throw at you and me everything he can to throw us off track, to discourage us, to tell us it's not true, to pull us down. Every person has a hook. Whether you're 15 years old or 90 years old or anywhere in between or younger, Satan has a hook for you, and he will try to find that place of vulnerability. Maybe you've been hurt in your life deeply by someone. Satan will try to take that and hook that into you and pull you toward him. Pull you toward his hateful, evil, dark and blackened heart and being, and pull you away from a loving God who's in this story, and we don't understand why and what, but I can tell you that Satan will do everything he can to bring you to that absolute place of saying, I don't believe God is who he says he is. See, that's the question here for Job. Are you going to trust God that he is who he says he is or not? Are you going to hold on to faith in him when there is nothing in your life that reinforces that God is there? Are you going to hold on to him or you're going to walk away. Satan says to every one of us, I want you to walk away. I want you to walk away from faith. I want you to walk away from trusting God. I want you to walk away from believing that God is good. God can help you and God is with you. Satan is saying that to Job in this story. It's a powerful message. So there's Job wrestling with that. Questions, I'm sure. Why is life like this, Job says. And he asks questions. For about five Sundays, we're going to look at some of the questions that Job asks. Job was suffering in every way. We think of the boils, just the boils alone, the physical. And I want to focus on the physical suffering of Job here for about three or four or five minutes, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. I don't know if you've ever had boils before. I've read about them. Not sure exactly what boils these were, but other people that have boils today from various viruses and diseases. And I know recently I've heard a lot about hand and foot disease, and I've seen, and I've not experienced myself, but I've known people that have. And those are terrible for you that have gone through that. One or two or three or four or ten boils. How painful every single one of them are. Speaking not from experience, but from what I've been told. But can you imagine hundreds of intensely painful boils all over your body from the top to the bottom? The intensity of the pain and the anguish, the continuous misery of laying and feeling these pricks and pokes of pain burning. And laying there knowing, why, God, would you allow this? Why, God? God, are you there? Do you hear this? Do you see this? Job was given the full measure of suffering. And his stories in the Bible, I believe, to help us to wrestle with suffering in our lives and in the lives of other people. At one point, he said he wanted to die. Well, God, you just take me. But he refused to turn away from believing in that God. He refused to curse God and die. He didn't want to die, but he didn't want to curse God. He said, no. No, naked I came from the womb, and naked I will return. Somehow Job captures something about what faith really is. We read about Job's suffering throughout the next 34 chapters. Read in 2 verse 8 about these boils. Painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Let me just read quickly some of the other descriptions in the book of Job of what he was feeling. In chapter 7, my body, Job said, is clothed with worms and scabs. He said later, my skin is broken and festering. He said, my scars are black and peeling, disfiguring. Later in chapter 7, Job describes the nightmares that come, probably from the delirium. My breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my brothers. All my close friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. This is a depth of loneliness that is incredible. Job felt alone. He felt abandoned. Another description says that he has become gaunt. Nothing, chapter 19 says, but skin and bones. I have a constant fever, he says. One more description of his physical suffering, chapter 30, the nightmare. Night times pierces my bones. Days of suffering grips me. Terror is overwhelming to me. It wasn't just physical, but it was far more than that. It was into every avenue and corner of the existence of Job. And then the pain of Job's wife's grief. Added to everything else. You look at chapter 2, verse 9. It says, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Imagine what added misery and pain and suffering that must have been to Job, who was a good man. It was a man who had been faithful and faithfully had had 10 children with this wife. But we have to remember that Job was not alone in his suffering. His wife had suffered alongside him, not in the same ways, but sometimes we tend to be hard on Eve and her role in sin, and we're hard on Job's wife and her role in the attitude and the spirit. But imagine with me today about the intense suffering of this precious wife, which just reminds me offhand that men and women grieve differently. Men and women feel differently. Men and women deal with pain and sorrow and challenge and hurts and problems differently anyway. But in her pain, we really have been given the story of Job's pain, but not much about the story of her pain. But she had to have suffered amazingly too. Was she not the mother of those 10 children taken suddenly? Did she not behold the destruction of her life's work and security, the relationships for children or servants? And was she not the one that had to watch the physical suffering of Job? Watching suffering is also very hard on the faith. And in some ways might be as hard or harder than someone who's suffering themselves. Some of you carry, and I see it and I hear it and I feel it, suffering for other people. God does too. She was there too. She didn't hold up quite as well as Job did. We can see the weakness and can pass very quickly over that sometime, but she faltered in her faith. Not quite as strong as Job, it seems. So what do we learn? What are the lessons here in this verse? We are all, number one, at different places of vulnerability at times in our lives. There may be times when you're stronger than others, and there may be people around you that are stronger than others. So always being sensitive to the hurts of people is very important. Not to be judgmental. Not to want to say we know what we would do or we would say or we would feel when people are hurting. But remembering that we're all at different places. Job and his wife were at a little bit different place. This story also a lesson to me is that Satan will attack every one of us at some point, at some place. Satan will even try to attack your faith through your family. Maybe through a weakness in your spouse, or because of something that's happened to your children, or because of something in your family or some relationship somewhere that's been painful and difficult. Satan will try to use that to harm you and to hurt you. Sometimes through the vulnerabilities of the husband, and at other times maybe a weakness of a wife, Satan can use that. And when there are times when in marriage a spouse will need to step in and hold up the faith of the other, and I want to say that too today, there might be times in your life in marriage when you might be a little stronger than your spouse. Remember the story of Job and his wife. God can use you to help pull someone through a difficult time. Don't forget how important your faith is in marriage and the example to your spouse. And not just spouses, other people in your life, friends, family members, a brother or sister in the church or outside of this church or another place. There might be somebody out there like Job's wife. She's about to give up. Think of the role that God can use you to help Job's wife. We all are capable of faltering. We know that. But Job held on. What a story. What a story. He held on. And he proclaimed what a question to his wife that I see as a deep, deep statement and truth. His response to his wife's doubts and struggle was this: shall we accept good from God and not trouble? He asked a question I think that's so good and so deep, what faith is. If we have genuine faith, we have to be able to accept from God both good and trouble. We have to be able to understand that God is God. We won't understand what and why God allows, but if our faith is going to be real and our faith is going to be strong, we have to trust God. And we have to do something about the pain that we feel and the suffering that we're in. Because if we just allow ourselves to stay in that place and complain in our hearts and not allow God to heal us and help us and take us out of that, we can spend the rest of our lives negative, not trusting God and not helping the people around us to have faith that's real and faith that's strong. There's a lot of depth in that verse, I believe. Two more observations about this story, and then I'll be finished. Once again, Job is found faultless. It can be done. You think, is it possible? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Kind of the first, he did not sin with charging God with wrongdoing, but in this one, he did not sin in what he said. God was able to help Job to have a faith that was real. I don't believe Job could have done it by himself, but God was able to help him to do that. He was able to hold his tongue. We can't help what we think. I mean, we can direct the mind and the thoughts, and that's important, but we can't always help what the enemy or prevent the enemy bringing negative things into our heart and our mind and from our experiences and from the pain in our lives. In this world, we'll be under attack. That's the truth. But God can help us to have a heart that's pure before him. It says, God, I trust you. God, I love you. God, I am not giving up. And I am not charging you with being a bad God. I am trusting you, and I hope that you are able to do that and willing to do that. The last thing that I want to say about this story is, thankfully, this is the last we hear of Satan in the book of Job. He's done. He has failed. He has failed miserably to prove that God and man cannot be connected by faith. He set out to prove to God that Job could not trust him. He did everything possible against Job. And he failed because Job kept his faith. He kept his integrity. And that tells me that we can keep our faith and our integrity too. No matter what's going on, no matter what from that list maybe might apply to you somewhere in your life or do things or whatever from the list might apply to you, I want you to know today that God can help you to have faith in the worst place that you can be. And places all in between. God's able to help us to do that. I'm thankful for that. In this story, would you stand? Lord God, today, when I think about suffering, I think about Job, but I also think about some other people, some good people that I know that are suffering at different levels in different ways, some physical, some emotional, some because of relationships. some because of loss. God, whatever the suffering is, help us to be honest about it, not sugarcoat it. But God, also that we don't hide behind it and allow it to destroy our lives, God, through bitterness or rage or brokenness, God. Help us to find and hear and claim there's a God who reaches out with arms to heal, to redeem, to restore, to bring joy again. The bones that have been crushed, the body that's been broken, God, that you can touch and heal and bring back. Even the dry bones, God, you're able to cause them to rattle together and come back to life. Help us, God, to know how real you are, how true your nature is, and how powerful you are to bring and restore, I pray. Thank you for the book of Job and the story, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.